Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, you guys get an exclusive offer. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost and try ZipRecruiter for free. If you love this show, show your support to it and those who support it, like ZipRecruiter, by going to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Is this thing on? Okay. Great. Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. In 2019, we are going to be going on the road for select live dates. That's right. We're going to be doing Real Ghost Stories Online live and on location at select dates around the United States in 2019. If you want tickets, all you got to do is go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and then click on tour dates. These are going to be intimate live shows with like 50 to 100 people only in limited capacity areas. Real one-on-one stuff where you can share your stories with us. We will discuss person to person and really have an amazing night on our select dates. To see where we're going to be and what tickets are available right now, go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click on tour dates, and if you're in one of those areas or willing to travel a little bit, get some tickets and see us live in 2019 as we take Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks on the road. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, click tour dates. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a ghostly figure resembling TV static appears to a girl alone in her room. Shadow figures make themselves known late at night by candlelight. And did a message from a deceased loved one come through a text message? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now. 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802. Call it in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your ghost stories, we'd love to hear them. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the program and you want to keep us on the air, well, then become an extra podcast person. Get access to our bonus episode every single week. You can hear the preview of it on Thursdays, the free portion of the episode. But the whole thing, if you want that, jam-packed with far more ghost stories, sign up at ghostpodcast.com for that. $5 a month gets you access to that. You also get a free e-copy of our book right there, $14 value. Free right away when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely.
Good.
I've been doing interviews today, and that's been kind of my day.
So it's been fun.
It's been fun, but it's been like, you know, when you do an interview, you got to kind of like stay in it, mm-hmm. you know, if you will. Otherwise, the interview just sucks. My mind is so easily distracted. Mm-hmm. I'm like, squirrel, you know, and it doesn't help when you have like 4 computer monitors surrounding you the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And then if I turn around, I have the outdoors and I have an animal in here. So it's like, there's all these things that can take my mind away very quickly from what's going on. So I've really had to learn to be disciplined in doing an interview and just really just sit there and almost pretend like the person is there in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I can sit here doodling on, you know, on the internet, like, and I do that sometimes during interviews to find follow-up questions or to find if they hit on something. It's like, I don't know about that. And I try and find something to pull with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to stay in there. And by the time that's done, I am exhausted after one, just because, and it's really, it's just because I find it exhausting staying on topic sometimes.
Yeah.
And our listeners to our show regularly know that, how I can easily wander, but it's an exercise mm-hmm. in discipline. I think I'm getting a little better at it, but it's more, you'd think that'd be the easy thing, is just staying on topic. It's not.
No.
For my mind, it is not. But I did one with Rosemary and Guiley. She's very popular in the paranormal world, has been on many, many shows, written a lot of books, really just an interesting kind of overall interview Rosemary Ellen Guiley, I'm sorry, about all different stuff. We touched on everything from dreams. We touched on everything to some very specific haunts and houses that she's investigated, some very dark things. It was a lot of things that we talked about. But that's going to be on The Grave Talks. That episode is going to be, if you're a grave keeper, a member of that program, that should be live here in just a couple of days. But publicly on The Grave Talks, that one will be going out there towards the end of April. I think it's the last week in April is when that one goes public.
Oh, goodness.
So that's how far out that show is. But that's the advantage when you're a grave keeper over there, is because you can get access to the episodes months before they're actually released. And I think there's got to be, I don't know how many weeks away that is, like 15?
A lot.
We're almost into summer over there. So, you know. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to the first letter that we got in today. It says, this happened when I was about 15 years old in my grandparents' house where I lived. The master bedroom, which was always gave me a weird vibe and gave me the creeps, felt off, like someone was always there with you or watching. The walk-in closet always remained freezing regardless of the time of the year, and I always kept my clothes in the master, and I woke one morning to get ready for school. Walked to the master bedroom, had my back towards the closet facing a dresser, getting my socks and undergarments on, when I noticed somebody walk by my peripheral vision. I turned to look, and clear as day, there was a shape or an outline of a figure, but I could not tell if it was a male or female. It was a body, but appeared almost snowy, like a television that loses its signal back in the day. The figure proceeded to casually walk into the closet and disappear. I dropped all my things, ran to my mom, and was hyperventilating and crying, and I began to dry heave. Scared the hell out of me. My mom played it off by saying I just woken up and it was my eyes, but I'm 100% sure of what I saw. Growing up, I always heard a woman calling my name, or what sounded like my mom calling me, but she never would be. I had something playful tug my hair at age 5. It's just a few of the things. I've always been very into the paranormal and metaphysical worlds. I hate to sound cliche, but I'm sensitive to emotions and what I believe to be somewhat of an empath. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what I saw, maybe some kind of explanation. I will say my biological mother passed away when I was 2 and my grandparents raised me. I love your show. Can't wait to hear my story, hopefully. Your thoughts on the TV static ghost?
Well, that's not the first time we've heard ghosts described that way. And I just don't know what to make of that. What does that mean that, you know, they're only halfway coming in as far as their ghostly abilities or what?
It's like the opposite of a shadow person where it's really dark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, this one's just got static going on. I think it's the way that they project themselves. And I don't necessarily think it's really anything that different than a shadow person. It's the outline, and this is how they're coming in. Sometimes they come across completely like a shadow. Sometimes I think they come across, in this way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, a lot of times people will talk about auras around people and that they can see, literally see the colors that come off of people, almost like you're looking through like a heat sensing lens. Sure. Or something, and they can tell positive, negative, and things of that nature. So I don't know if it's like something along those scales where it's coming across this way because of something of that. I don't know. But clearly, she's not the only one who's had that sort of a thing right. present itself that way to her.
Right.
So, creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It says, this was about a year ago. Now that I just moved to Arizona from New Mexico due to some personal family issues, here I can discover and explore many new things that my old living situation would not have allowed me to get into. So me, being a young 14-year-old teen, decided to dabble in some witchcraft. I thought it'd be fun. So I did just that. I never did any sort of dark magic or anything like that to try and summon a demon in my house or anything. I was only interested in communicating, purifying, and herbal magic. One night I decided I would meditate to try to communicate with any spirits that may be in my house. So I sat on my bed and lit 2 candles, which lie on either side of me on my nightstand and a dresser. About 5 minutes into it, I started noticing that the candle on the dresser was flickering very vigorously, while the one on the nightstand was very still. To try and debunk this as some kind of current, I move my hand around the flame to try and block any kind of source of a draft or something. But at every angle, the candle would continue to flicker. There'd even be moments where I would think, stop. It would stop for a brief second and continue. That could have been my imagination. It still scared the shit out of me. It's only the beginning. After I sat back down in my bed, I noticed in the shadow of the flame, there was a shadow hand with long pointy fingernails slowly moving its way up the wall till eventually a ball-shaped shadow appeared and the hand with the long nails grabbed onto it and pulled it down. After just witnessing my first paranormal experience, I was terrified. I hesitated for a while in shock before quickly blowing out the candles and turning on the lights in my room. I've not lit a candle in the dark in my room since then. Since this incident, I've been seeing many shadow people from the corner of my eye, as well as people peering into my room around the corner or even through the windows. Sometimes when I'm lying in bed, about to sleep, I'll feel as though someone is lying down next to me or sitting down at the foot of my bed, or someone is hovering over me, watching me sleep. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. I love your podcast and often find myself going to bed while listening to it. Keep up the good work, guys.
I'm not going to get on my soapbox about witchcraft, but I do have a question for you.
All candles cause shadows that are unexplained on the wall.
Do you think that you can start out trying witchcraft with good intentions, but if you've got something already in your space that's not good, that can exasperate it?
Being an expert in witchcraft, as I am, and being a practicing Wiccan, no, I'm not. I don't know the answer to that for sure, but I would think anything, and I think we've had stories like this almost, where someone goes into it, not going into it for the negativity, because I know there is a positive realm to that. So I don't really have anything negative to say about it until you really get into it and somebody says, I'm doing this for the dark shit, you know, like, right. Well, then that, yeah. But I had a co-host who was a Wiccan years ago, and I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was one of the strangest things I'd ever heard at the moment in time, where she goes, I'm a witch. I'm like, what? You know, like, what do you mean? I never even had heard of that. This is far before I was ever doing the show or knew much about it. But then she explained, like, oh, okay. And I guess to me, I mean, I think paganism is more of what I was associating that with, of, you know, just kind of celebrating the earth and energies. And that's, I never really had heard it being termed to as a witch.
Okay.
Prior. And I think there's some difference. I don't know. I'm going to assume there's some differences. But anyway, so I think you can certainly be in it for the good, you know, and can a door be opened anytime you enter into something where you're asking for things on the other side, if there's something negative there when you open that door? Yeah, I think anything could slide in, but I think it could slide in many other ways too.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just one door or one possibility of ways that you could, you know, open that gate to them. So that's my long-winded answer for you, that one. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
But again, candles, anytime you light a candle, you're inviting a shadow person to do things on your wall.
You're not inviting a shadow person.
I think you should be aware of that.
No, that's not how that works.
You should come up with a candle line.
You just want me to stop buying shadow people. Candles. I love candles.
Same with pillows. Anytime you lay your head on a pillow anywhere, it's inviting demons into your
house. I've kicked the pillow habit. I'm in pillow recovery.
Yeah, you have. It used to be for a while, it'd be like, you come home, it's like, there's all new pillows in the different, we're like, well, that's nice. And the only problem I think we ran into with it was we couldn't sit on the couches.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it looked lovely and they were really nice, soft pillows. And I can't say I disliked any of the pillows. It was just always like, where do I sit now?
Right. It's like unmaking the bed every time you want to sit on the couch.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, I overdid it.
But I enjoy the pillows and now we have pillows for life, you know? Whenever time to get new pillows, just go to the closet. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, we got to cover a little business here. Our supporter today, ZipRecruiter. These guys have been with us for quite some time. I love them. I hear nothing but great stories from people who have used them. If you are the person who is in charge of hiring at your business, at your place of work, and you're not using ZipRecruiter, I don't know what's wrong with you. Seriously, maybe you just didn't really know about it. We'll use that as an excuse for you to get in there and check it out. ZipRecruiter makes hiring so, so easy. No posting to board after board and going through every single resume, scanning. No, no, no. It does that stuff for you. Yes, it's the smart way to hire. Mm-hmm. Not the old slow way of hiring. This is the smart way to hire. Job boards, you know, they of course can send you candidates. All that stuff is out there. We know how it works. It's antiquated. It's not how you do things today. Okay. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. It'll help you hire the right person, and you can even try it for free. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans through thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and then actively invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Right now, you guys as listeners to this show can try it for free. Yes, free. Please do so. These guys support our program. Support them so they continue to help keep us on the air. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. G-H-O-S-T. And you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Free is always good, right? ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another story. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Aurora from Perth, Washington. I've written in a couple of times and just wanted to share another quick story from when my aunt passed away not too long ago. This isn't exactly a ghost story, but something definitely within the realm I thought you might like to hear. So a quick bit of backstory. My aunt and I are both what you might classify as the black sheep of the family. We're the only family members living in Washington and mostly didn't speak with another family. It was just us. My aunt did have a son and daughter, but they lived away from home, so weren't always around. We were all in good terms. Anyway, instead of calling the family outcast black sheep, we were always called crows. It's nice that the family has a name. There's a crow in every generation. I'm the crow of mine. Sadly, my aunt was diagnosed with cancer, and a few days after I was told, she went into hospice. But a week later, she passed away. It was a very quick decline and an incredibly sad and hard time as I tried to be with them and help my cousins through this traumatic time. To be completely honest, watching someone pass from cancer is nothing more than horrible, and I hope never to have to do it again. It was a truly hard time in my life that I still feel effects from now. There was a lot to deal with, especially just being my cousin who was handling the situation even worse than I was. Jumping forward a short while, my fiancé and I had gone to see my cousin and pick up the ashes of my aunt from him. He was getting ready to leave her house for the last time to come stay with me and didn't want to get lost and mixed up in everything. I was driving us back to our apartment and I asked my fiancé if he could get my phone from my bag at his feet to write a message to a friend I was planning on meeting later in the day. He grabbed my phone from my bag and turned to me saying, "I don't believe in this sort of stuff, but I know you do, and I swear I just unlocked your phone, and this was here. I haven't even pressed anything yet." He showed me the phone screen, and on the screen was an open draft text message addressed to nobody and empty other than a single word, crow. One of the weirder things about this was that my phone was only a few days old, and I hadn't frequently been text messaging the word crow to people enough, if at all, for it to be frequently used or a word memorized by the prediction dictionary in the phone. And as Jenny would say, there's no such thing as coincidences. Thanks, and stay spooky.
I think that was a message that was meant because she would know the significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that's just all that it is. It's just that one word just to tell you there's something else on the other side.
You got your notice that they're over there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be that specific, too, on that word.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's interesting that they have their own word, but like, do they refer to that within like the family circles? Like, oh, the crow's here, you know, when
maybe
they get
jokingly.
Together. Okay.
Probably joking.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting story. And thank you for sharing that. I think that was a good example of a text message being used to communicate. I've always said, I wonder when we're going to get more of that. And there really hasn't been a lot
mm-hmm.
in terms of that being used. There you go. There's one. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name's Terrence, and I'm a relatively new listener out of the Washington, D.C. area. And I just started listening in the past year. And I've always, I guess, been sensitive to the spiritual realm, but it intensified in the last couple of years. On December 30th, 2016, my husband, Rick, of 16 years, died suddenly and unexpectedly of an undetected heart condition, leaving me the parent of our two boys, who are now 16 and 11. And through all of the grief, especially in that first year, I felt Rick tried to reach out to me in so many different ways. There were times when he spoke directly to me. I found a pair of his pajamas under the bed, and they still smelled like him. I wanted to save them, so I put them in a plastic bag and I put them in the closet. And that night, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned and tossed and turned, and I heard this voice that I can only imagine was him whispering something to me, and I caught the last two words, which were "my clothes." And I got up and I went to the closet and I got the pajamas and took them out of the bag and pressed them against my face and took a deep breath and then took them to bed with me and slept through the night. Another time in the morning, I was getting the kids ready for school, and after my oldest son left, I was feeling kind of depressed, and so I just got my younger son's lunch made so that he would be ready to go. And I went upstairs and I called back into the bed, and I laid there thinking about Rick, and our youngest son came up to give me a hug and say goodbye before he went to school. And right after he left, again, I heard this voice, this soft voice, just whisper two words, and those words were, "It hurts." And I just answered back and said, "Yeah, it does." There are so many other things. I took Rick's towels down and washed them after he died, because we have a double sink, and he had his side and I have my side, and I still have my side. I don't use his side. But I came into the bathroom one day, and the hand towel that was on my side of the sink had moved over to his side, and I couldn't remember moving it. I couldn't remember, I can think of a reason why I would move it there and not think about what I was doing. So I don't know if that was his way of saying hello. He's come to me in dreams several times. There was once when I was having a dream and I woke up because I couldn't move my right hand. It was like something was holding it. And I woke up and I glanced over and my hand had drifted over to Rick's pillow. And just as I opened my eyes, I swear, I saw this pale white hand there holding mine. And then it faded away. And the last story I'll tell is around the 1-year anniversary of his death, I was taking my son to, my youngest son, to the holiday party for his diving team. And back when we were dating, Rick had told me that the song by Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment, was the song that always reminded him of me. It was an emotional time because it was a one-year anniversary, and the year before, Rick had taken him to the party. And so, you know, we were both feeling his absence even more strongly. And as we were driving to the party, what comes on the radio but Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment. And I just took that as his way of, you know, reminding me that he's still with us. And the song ended just as we pulled up to the location of the party. So I guess for me, I believe that, and then I tell my kids that the people that we love never completely leave us as long as we hold them in our hearts. And I certainly hold Rick in my heart. I've never stopped talking to him, thinking about him, even as I try to navigate life without him. But I enjoy your show. It's strangely comforting to hear other people's stories about their experiences. It reinforces that, for me, it reinforces that he's still with me and that he's still reaching out to me. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. And the neat thing about that right there, the fact that he shared that story, is that I'm sure someone else heard that same story and also found some relatability there. And almost to kind of give, not that when you go through that you need validation, but it's good to know other people go through that too.
Yeah.
And that you're not alone when those sort of things happen, and that these events do occur. Because I could see a lot of people going, I'm losing my mind.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I think when, you know, he said it was a very sudden and unexpected thing, that I think sometimes when we lose loved ones that way, they almost stick around longer just to get us through.
Sure.
And just to, you know, just exactly like what his story was. There was these little moments here and there just to get him through.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. I know it wasn't easy to talk about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear all of our bonus episodes, become a EPP, extra podcast person, on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Right there, you get access to like 230 some EPP bonus episodes now. By the time this airs, probably close to 240. You get all those. If you want to hear what they sound like these days, listen on Thursdays to our regular feed and get a 10-15 minute preview of it, just to hear the storytelling on those, because it's changed. It's changed on the EPPs, the way that we present the stories, in a whole new cool way. So it's a little different than the regular show, but I've been getting a lot of positive feedback on that. So check that out, echoespodcast.com. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey there, guys. This is Christina from Atlanta. I've called in a few times on my about my the activity at my house. I haven't listened to you guys in probably a year because life has just been so crazy. And everyone knows how it is. But anyways, things are not safe feeling at the house. We haven't been feeling that safe at the house. Things have been going crazy, like knocks on the wall started, and then things just started moving by themselves. And, you know, we were like, okay, maybe it's a spirit trying to get our attention. And then my 7-year-old came to me and told me about what's been happening since before Christmas. I don't talk about paranormal things in front of my kid. I just don't. I don't want her to have the nightmares. I don't want her to have any of the negativity. And I'm not saying that all spirits are negative. I'm not saying that. But when you're a kid, you know, you get scared of things that you can't see. You know, we still do it as adults. So I just try to keep that out of my kid's head, scary movies, anything. I just try to keep it out of her head, just so I don't have to deal with the nightmares, because I don't want to deal with them, honestly. So she also got this sleeping mask for Christmas, and I found it in the trash the other day. So it was kind of weird. Maybe I thought that it was an accident, but it wasn't. So let me get to the story and stop lollygagging. I went to go tuck my kid in to bed the other night, and she asked me if I could tell her something that had been going on. And she told me that before Christmas, she had been hearing voices in her room. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm listening. I'm not telling her that it's things made up, because I've had paranormal experiences since I was 5. So, and they get brushed off by my parents, and I don't want to do that to her. I want her to know that I do believe her, that she, I know she's not making stories up. So, but of course I'm going to, you know, if I can debunk something, then I'm going to debunk it, you know? So she tells me that she hears voices, she hears scratching, lots of scratching, and knocks on the wall. She told me that when she got her sleeping mask from Santa on Christmas, that she could hear the creepy people getting very close to her face and standing in front of her staring. But she said she was so scared that she didn't want to take her sleeping mask off. So she's had hair pulled. I've had hair pulled. Things have been going crazy, like, y'all. I can't even keep up with all the stories because it's been so consistent. My husband stopped the staging. He stopped doing all of that when things started moving around the house. You know, I was like, well, maybe, you know, you're pissing the spirits off and they want to stay and they're good, maybe. You know, I don't know. And I've always had this connection to this house. I don't know what it is. This house, I mean, since we got this house, it's been falling apart, and I just had this attachment to it. And then all this stuff starts happening, and now it's happening to my kid. And, you know, we go back and forth, my husband and I, through these, like, bad mood swings. And, you know, I don't know if it's some evil entity that's trying to take over us in these times that's fucking with us, but I'm getting fucking so sick and tired of it. And I've told it to leave. We have done more cleansing, which is making it worse. And financially, we can't do shit about it right now. We can't move. We literally were stuck. And I don't know. I don't have much people that will believe me. So that's why I called you guys, my Real Ghost Stories Online fam. You guys get it. And I'm grateful. Very grateful. Very, very grateful for you guys. I just thank you for letting me call and vent and about such scary things happening in my life. But I know a lot of you are going to understand and not ridicule me. Anyways, I'm going to this Indian drum circle, and I'm gonna go talk to someone there and see if maybe they could be of some help. So we'll see what comes of it. I'll keep you guys updated. I've been working from home, so I haven't had a chance to call you guys to tell you what's been happening, because I don't want to call you while I'm in the house. So I'm finally going to work for the first time in a couple of weeks, and hopefully things start to die down when I get some help. So, but anyways, I'm rambling. I hope you guys had a happy new year, or have a happy new year and had a good Christmas and whatnot. Y'all take care. Bye.
Has she called in before with other stories?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because I was just wondering if I was missing a piece of the puzzle about the history of what's going on there. Because mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that she's going to reach out to a Native American drum circle
mm-hmm.
for help. I hadn't heard of anybody doing that before, and I'm just curious if there was a specific reason with that house as to why she's doing that.
I don't know the answer. If there's, you know, if I'm missing the dot being connected, maybe she had called, but I wonder if she knows something that she didn't, that she's already aware of, that she failed to share in the story. Just, mm-hmm. you know, when it becomes second nature of what you know what's going on around your property, sometimes it's just like, oh, yeah, I forgot to share that part.
Just because I'm curious. Yeah. I want to know more about that because that's new to me as far as yeah. that being an avenue.
I don't know. I mean, suppose if there's something going on the property, if the property is on some sort of land or you know, that was formerly land, you know, that may be a good place to reach out mm-hmm. to try and get things to calm down if there's a direct correlation there. I mean, certainly we've heard many stories like that over the years where it's, you know, the house is on some sort of burial land or whatnot. They're unaware right. of it. And then you know, all shit breaks loose. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com is the place that you do that. $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus material. Get a free e-copy of our book. If you sign up for a year, you can claim yourself a spirit flask. Or a bunk bed bell. I think I have a couple of bunk bed bells left. Anyway, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.